afternoon. It is 12 noon, at least by one of the clocks in this building. You're in House Finance Committee, and it is 12 noon. We're here today to hear from the Alaska Travel Industry Association. Today is Wednesday, January 26th, 12 noon, and with me this afternoon in House Finance is Representative Newman, Representative Costello, Representative Edgman, Representative Dugan. Welcome. Co-chairs Stoltz and Thomas, Representative Heron, Representative Wilson. We do have a quorum, but that's not required today for this particular presentation. And with that, we have comments from the chairs before they need to head off to another meeting. Mr. Co-chairman.
Thank you, Representative Fairclough. Both Representative Thomas and I have to attend a leadership meeting. We'd like to be here. We've appreciated these presentations from the travel industry and representing tourism concerns, an important segment of our economy. We'll have future discussions, and we'll see many of you throughout the day at other meetings and probably in obviously smaller groups. I appreciate it. I know Representative Costello is stewarding this issue through her Commerce Committee, which she's chairing, and I'll get probably a very precise, detailed briefing from her. And Madam Chair, I know we have a lot of chairs. Perhaps you can invite Representative Miller to join us at the table as well. But that, thank you, and I apologize for having to leave.
Thanks, sir.
So,
Representative Thomas?
I'm fine.
Thank you for joining us briefly to show your support of this particular issue. Representative Miller, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There are many members of Senate and House staff that are in the audience today, so thank you for coming. With that, if you could introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Sure. Thank you, Vice Chair Fairclough and members of the Finance Committee. By way of introduction, my name is Deb Hickok, and I'm Chair of the Board of Directors for the Alaska Travel Industry Association. And to my right and your left is Patty Mackey, who is currently Chair of the Government Relations Committee. Both of us have served different roles at an ATIA. Patty has been a volunteer Chair of the Board in the past. Both of us have served as Chair of the Marketing Committee for ATIA also. Today, we are privileged to represent ATIA and the Alaska travel industry to give this report to you. First off, I just wanted to pause and say thank you. I did want to distinguish this thank you from previous thank yous. This one is because the legislature appropriated additional funding into tourism marketing for this current fiscal year. You have made an incredible difference to our industry and our road to recovery and our road to the future. And we don't take that thank you lightly. I just wanted to distinguish it as opposed to other thank yous that we may have given in the past. This one is was an extraordinary departure point for us this past year. We think we have a really good story to tell you today, and you are co-authors by appropriating this money. You're co-authors of this, we think, really good story. It's a story in progress. I'm just going to do a few budget overview things, and then Patty's really going to do the meat of the presentation and tell you how we've expended some of the funds and some of the results that we're already seeing from that. And then, of course, leave time for questions and Q&As and hopefully answers. The budget overview, this is where we are right now. We have gone from an $11.7 million budget to $18.7 this year. What enabled us to do this is, for the past few years, we've worked with an 11.7 budget. That's based on $9 million from state funding and state investment into our tourism program. The private sector has invested $2.7 million towards the program. As we said last year, there was money from the operating grant and also the capital grant, which totaled an additional $7 million into the program. For our report today, and it is a report in that we do quarterly reports to DCCED on the core budget. You should have by now, I think, received the second quarter report. So this is something that's been ongoing, but with the additional funding, the specifics of the funding said that we were to give a report by January 30th on the additional monies expended. So that's what we're trying to focus on today, is that additional $7 million. And this is how we've expended the funds and invested them into the marketplace. Basically, we're going to focus on those two larger segments, which is consumer marketing. 61% of our budget from the core marketing budget is spent directly in the consumer marketplace, and 80% of the additional funding was spent directly in the marketplace.
We have a question. Representative Dugan? Representative Kawasaki has just joined us. Representative, if you'd like to join us at the table, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not sure how we're going to want to do this, but I'm one slide back where you were talking about the division of the forces, the money, and you said essentially there's a capital grant and an operating grant. And what's the source of that grant fund?
As far as I know, it's general fund money that's been appropriated this year.
So with the exception of the $2.7 million that comes from the industry, the rest of it is all state money?
Well, the core budget has traditionally come from the VRT, the vehicle rental tax. I mean, it's an understanding. It's not a designated funding, but that's the core budget. And the additional $7 million came from the general fund. And I'm sure someone would correct me in the audience if I'm incorrect. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But it is all state money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Please, Representative Wilson.
I just want a little follow-up. Is that a one-year grant for both the capital or operating, or were they a multi-year grant?
1 year.
Okay, thank you.
There's no other questions. If we can continue. Thank you.
Yeah, I just lost my question. So in terms of, let me get back to you. In terms of expenditures, we're focusing on that 61% and an additional 80%, and this is where it's spent. I think chief among those expenditures, to relay to you, is in our core budget, we have spent $1 million in TV advertising. Because of the additional money, we were able to spend $5 million in TV advertising, which has had a powerful impact in the marketplace. So a total of $6 million in TV advertising from the campaign this year. And I just wanted to just pause for a minute to talk about the process. We do have an exhaustive process in terms of vetting the marketing program and our strategies. We have a 30-member marketing committee. Half of those are on the board of directors of the Alaska Travel Industry Association. We did a poll of the marketing committee members, and we have an average of 23 years of marketing experience for each individual. They look a little younger than their age, I think, is the reality of it. We have a very research based program. We do research. We are constantly analyzing, revising, reanalyzing, and measuring the results because we want the best program to work for the many sectors of the visitor industry in our state as well as for Alaskans as a whole. One of the key tests for our marketing program is that we have 750 businesses that invest their cash dollars into the program. And we have multiple marketing partners that also invest in the program, as the National Park Service, a number of communities that invest into the program, too. So with that said, I will put this in the capable hands of Patty Mack.
We have one additional question. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Patty, do you currently coordinate any of your ATA marketing with ASME?
Through the chair, yes. As a matter of fact, we do a number of co-promotional events with them throughout the year. One great example is a public relations event called the Alaska Media Roadshow, where the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is a partner with us in providing one of the meals that we serve to travel writers who are in attendance. And we've got a couple of other, Deb, maybe you can elaborate on the other items that...
If I might clarify, it's difficult sometimes for the clerk to keep track of who's changing. So that response was from Patty Mackey versus Deb, who the question was originally directed by Representative Costello. And then if we could speak into the microphone so that it makes it easier to record, the session is being recorded. So thank you. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Deb Hickok through the chair. And we do have a document that describes all of the marketing programs to date that we've engaged with the ASME, and we'd be happy to circulate that to the committee. We, as far as I know today, there's also a meeting to talk further with ASME on how we can evaluate some of the programs we've done and where we're going to go in the future. But we do have extensive conversation. The firm that represents ASME for marketing actually attended our entire marketing committee meeting yesterday to understand our program better and hopefully to find other ways to plug in.
Follow up, Representative Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Patty, that I would appreciate seeing that document. I think that would be helpful for the members of the committee to see that side by side. Thank you.
Please continue, Patty. Thank you.
Thank you. ATIA, as Deb mentioned earlier, takes a pretty scientific, a very scientific approach to our marketing effort. As you saw in the previous slide, once our marketing plan is established, then what we do is always subjected to testing by research firms in order to provide confirmation on the effectiveness of the program and to ensure that we're generating results. An example of one type of that research is to test the materials that we create. The conversion study that we conduct helps us determine how many consumers saw or heard Alaska's marketing actually visited the state, not only in the first year, but then also who visits in subsequent years. And this helps us to try and quantify our return on investment. We also conducted a new research study this year to test advertising effectiveness. We wanted to find out what kind of influence Alaska's marketing has on those who never call or never request information about Alaska from us. And we were pretty pleased by the results. Initially, consumers were asked what ads do they recall seeing in the past 6 months. And when we started this, we were below the top 10 in recall. When we put our new television on the air, the commercials that you'll see a little later, we had moved up into the top 10 and we're ranked as number 6 in terms of the ability to recall those advertisements.
Patty, if I might ask a question, I went through your second quarter report, and in it, on page 2 of that report, it talks about responses generated. Could you speak to the committee about how you get those responses and how you tally those? So when you're telling us you're moving the needle, what are you counting? How are you getting that particular data stream?
To the chair. We have a number of mechanisms that are in place, whether it's television advertising or magazine advertising. We have the both of our website 800 number is on there. When people contact us to follow up for information, we're able to track those results. In addition, a number of the publications that we advertise in have actual response cards in them that people can fill out and send in to us for additional information that provides additional tracking. So I'm happy to answer that question, because not everyone who sees an ad in a magazine or sees our television ad is actually going to follow up and request information. But for those who do, we have that ability to track.
Just for clarity then, so the count that I'm seeing on your report that has 25,693 response generated, a large portion of that is a count that you're doing right on your website as far as accessing information there and a click into the website?
I'm sorry, I don't have the report in front of me to, hang on, if I could ask for some assistance here.
I can follow up with you later.
All right. Thank you very much.
Representative Herron.
Excuse me. A related question to this. That's great that we've moved up. But, you know, they remember seeing it. But what did they remember about it? What made the difference? Thank you.
In terms of the Well, basically what they remember is that they saw a destination ad about Alaska as opposed to an ad for Disneyland or an ad for some other location. And we do have a little bit of footage that we'll show you a little later in the presentation that in their own words they tell you what resonated with them on those commercials.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the other things that the effectiveness study showed us was how much more the awareness increased. As you can see, our advertising campaign in 2011 is having a significant and positive impact on awareness among travelers nationwide, particularly with the new ads that we began airing in November of 2010. Not only do we have new ads, but it's certainly an increase in the number of times we can air those ads and the number of channels that they're seen on. The TV spots are generating a 34% increase in intent to visit from this research, and that shows us that people are really actively engaged in Alaska and wanting to come and visit us. The other thing that was a key finding in this research was that overall awareness of our travel advertising has also increased from 27% to 41%. So that means that they are viewers are also taking more interest in citing more awareness in things like the State Vacation Planner, as well as our TravelAlaska.com website.
Thank you, Patty. Representative Wilson has a question.
There's been a lot more shows on Alaska, starting with Sarah Palin and some others, Ice Road Truckers. How are you able to distinguish between those types of shows that bring interest versus the advertising?
Through the chair. These are specific questions asked about our specific program. So we will talk to people first about just general awareness about Alaska, and then we'll go back and show them material. And the folks that have seen the material, then we can measure whether it's specific awareness to what we're producing or if it's related to some other aspect of Alaska that they're aware of through the media.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Representative Wilson.
Also, you have, you know, the intent is great. Is there any way that you're measuring those who actually do come and how maybe they, where in the state they go?
Yes. And Deb will actually give you kind of a recap of all of the different types of research and measurements that we'll be doing in this program as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Some other aspects of the study showed that there was a very positive response to Alaska's advertising and that our advertising does a good job of communicating those things that we know from previous research. People are interested in and attracted to Alaska, things such as wildlife and natural habitat. As Deb mentioned earlier, we put 80% of our additional funding into consumer marketing, and this is just a quick view of some of the different things that we utilize those funds for. All of these have been through our research and through the response rates we've generated in past years very effective at getting people to contact us for more information and to eventually follow up and become travelers to Alaska. We also use some of our funding to promote Alaska overseas, including the United Kingdom, which is our top visitor-producing market from outside of the United States. We know that visitors from the UK are actively engaged, particularly in cruising. Our second largest overseas market is Australia, followed by Germany. Domestic travel trade is also extremely important. In addition to marketing directly to our potential travelers, we also make sure that travel agents and tour operators are provided with information and training to help them sell Alaska to their clients. And because of the support we received this past year, we were able to increase things like travel agent training and seminars for staff members who work for tour operator companies across the United States. And as an example, we had seminars that were conducted in Chicago, Denver, Seattle, Philadelphia, New York. We had over 275 travel agents participate and learn more about Alaska during that time. Alaska's visitor industry has changed dramatically, offering new products and services since our old faithful television ads were created back in 1991. We were able to augment those tried and trues with some additional footage in 2003. But it wasn't until this year that we were actually able to recreate our television advertising and take advantage of the new technology, such as HD, to portray Alaska in an even more captivating way. We were not only able to capture film and video, we were able to purchase new still photography that can be used in our website, in our magazine ads, and in our brochures. And we're very happy to report that we were able to do this with 100% of the work being done by Alaskan businesses. Alaska translates very well when seen in big glossy photos in popular magazines. And when publications feature Alaska as a destination in stories, we enjoy an added level of endorsement. Magazines strive to bring their readers compelling stories and information, and they don't stay in the business long if they can't keep their readership. So an outlay of staff time, column inches, and multiple pages in an issue devoted to a single subject is, in a sense, a seal of approval by that magazine to its subscribers. We use some of the additional funding to make a big splash in a national magazine, Cooking with Paula Dean. Ms. Dean is a well-known food personality, and her magazine has more than 7 million readers. We liked that the feature was going to run in their January issue because it's an important time in the decision-making and trip-buying process for people who are thinking about a summer visit to Alaska. Her interest in food provided a great cross-promotion opportunity for our Alaska seafood industry. What you are seeing here is the opening two-page spread, but there is much more. Alaska scored 16 full pages of coverage in this edition, and we do have copies of the magazine for you today so you can review it at your leisure. Another bonus is that Cooking with Paula Dean found so much subject matter during their visit to Alaska that they plan a follow-up story later in the year that will be focusing on Alaskan restaurants. All in all, we figure it was very good exposure for the state. Another media event that garnered great coverage was made possible through this appropriation. Dave Price from the CBS Early Show conducted an on-air contest to select a city to visit this winter. Anchorage was the winner. Dave and the CBS crew arrived here, and the show featured Dave's efforts to return to New York City within 1 week, relying on temporary job offers of employment and the goodwill of people. Lucky for him, he chose Alaska. Dave traveled from Anchorage to Fairbanks before he left the state and headed east. The CBS Early Show reaches a 2.56 million audience and generated lots of exposure for Alaska, not only on television, but as well as through their website and through social media outlets like Twitter. This promotion enabled us to show Alaska in the winter months, highlighting various activities, and during Dave's stint as a temporary at a processing operation, once again generated exposure for Alaska seafood. If you convert the value of the time that Alaska was actually featured in this show to advertising value, you would have had to pay over $17 million for this exposure. So everyone here knows how Alaska's magnificent scenery and wildlife make our state a compelling travel destination. And there is no better way to promote tourism in Alaska than showcasing the state on TV. You can reach a wide audience in a very impactful way. We want our TV spots, which are expensive to be produced, we want a high degree of certainty that those commercials are going to be effective. So you're about to see a short clip from the advertising effectiveness study that I mentioned earlier. The quality of the video is not that great, as respondents to the survey were responding back to us utilizing webcams. But we feel that you should hear for yourself some of the typical responses when people were shown our ads. And I would note that I think the color quality is probably better on this screen.
Patty, before we hit that, if I might, I just wanted to welcome Representative Johansson to the room. He's been here a while, and thank him for coming this afternoon. Please go forward.
I really like the Alaska Beyond Your Dream, and the reason I like that most is because there are a lot of landscape scenes, and you get a really good sense of the variety and diversity of things that you can do there, from music to watching various types of fish to fishing on your own, riding a boat. The second one, it's okay if you're an outdoorsy person, but I like the third one, again, just because I think it has the most options, and you think, well, even if I don't want to go hiking or something like that, there's something really fun to do there. So I just think it makes Alaska look really cool, really diverse, and really exciting.
Thank you. beyond my dreams. That's just keeping promises that I've made to myself that this is really out there. Instead of letting yourself down or trying to fulfill something you failed at, instead you're really doing something amazing to see.
I like Alaska Beyond Your Dreams best because there wasn't time taken up with people's close-up faces. Rather, people were engaged directly in activities, so it felt much more like I could place myself in those activities.
And it's odd because none of them tell me enough, obviously. I wanted to learn more, but I realized it's a short commercial, and I only have so much time, but Alaska Beyond Your Dreams was attempting to show me everything, and it also surprised me. It was like, oh, it's only Tuesday, and ooh, look at this. And so it led me to think that there's even more out there. So it's like, it got me thinking, oh, maybe Alaska's where I should go on that next vacation.
We're frequently asked about the massive exposure that Alaska is receiving on television programs these days, ranging from stories about our state troopers to bush pilots to crab fishermen. And doesn't that generate enough presence that we don't need television ads or a bigger budget to air them? I would ask you to consider that many of these programs don't really sell Alaska as a visitor destination. Rather, they focus on dangerous or unique jobs, criminal activity, interpersonal situations that are often overly dramatized, and sometimes there isn't a high degree of accuracy in how the state is portrayed. While these programs do feature some great B-roll or scenic shots of the state, they don't necessarily help a potential visitor see how they personally can experience Alaska. A few years ago, one of the crab boats that was featured in season 2 of The Deadliest Catch was retrofitted to become a tour vessel that operates in my hometown of Ketchikan. I would tell you that this tour is now among the most highly rated tours in Alaska and has become a top 10 favorite nationally as ranked by travelers on the travel website TripAdvisor. However, in the early days, we had a high number of visitors who were contacting our office at the Visitors Bureau for information because they were very concerned that the tour was going to be as dangerous and uncomfortable as a day on the Bering Sea, which is portrayed by The Deadliest Catch. So we want our invitation to visit Alaska to elicit a response from viewers that says, that's what I want to do, that's how I want to see and experience the state. With a core budget of $11.7 million, we were able to run our TV spots on just one national cable network. With a budget of $18.7 million, we are able to run our TV spots on 7 national cable networks. Last year, we were able to run our television spots a total of 628 times, which resulted in impressions, which is a TV term for how much impact a commercial's had on someone. It resulted in 419,700,000 impressions. Now, the additional dollars that were generated, that were given to us this year, means that our advertising is going to run 1,560 sometimes and generating well over 904 million of those impressions. So after all the research, the testing, the scripting, casting, filming, production, and editing, not to mention some scrutiny by the ATIA board, marketing committee, and membership, we had our new TV spots, and we hope you approve.
Alaska. It's the place you've always dreamed of, where the ordinary is simply extraordinary, and the views, like your memories, go on forever. When was the last time a vacation took your breath away? Alaska. Begin your adventure at AlaskaBeyondYourDreams.com.
I have 2 more to show, if that's all right.
This is the year to leave the ordinary behind, to keep the promises you made to yourself. Take a leap of faith and have a little adventure. Stop dreaming and start doing. This is the year, and Alaska is the place. Begin your adventure at AlaskaBeyondYourDreams.com. experience nature on its own terms. You can create a little wildlife of your own. Dance to a different drummer and do something you've never done before. Then just when you thought you'd seen it all, you realize it's only Tuesday. Begin your adventure at AlaskaBeyondYourDreams.com.
Thank you, Patty, and through the chair, Deb Hickok will continue. And just want to conclude with talking about measurement, which is a really important part of this. By the year end, we'll be able to give you much more comprehensive measurement on how the summer season 2011 went for Alaska's visitor industry. Primary through that is the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program, which is funded through DCCED and partially through ATIA. We haven't had primary research for AVSP since 2006, so we're really pleased to be able to go back to our visitors and let you know how many visitors to Alaska, how much they spend by region, what their demographic profiles are, where are their points of origin. We'll be able to give you to all that type of information. Meanwhile, we do some studying as the season is going. One of the most important studies that ATIA does is the travel intentions research, and that is research on our inquirers. And I think you asked, how do we know when people inquire? Those are really hard-earned names. That's when people actually register their name and address and some other information and become an inquiry. So that means today in web-based travel planning, some people don't even get to that point. But once we capture an inquirer, we do a lot of research. This travel intentions is something that we did do, and it really came about as we become sometimes concerned some years about how the summer is looking, and we know that bookings are getting later and later for Alaska, and so whereas many years ago people would start booking in the fall, and we have a strong sense of how the summer was going to go as early as the fall. Now we kind of hold our breath until March and April. We're seeing later and later bookings, particularly in this economic environment that we've been in. So Travel Intentions is a phone survey to inquirers to date. So we have spent basically that additional money, the $7 million in the marketplace. We're still spending the core money, so we're still working on the 11.7 core money. So there's still quite a bit of advertising to come. For example, the TV advertising will run through April. So we're still in the marketplace. We're still generating inquiries. But in our inquiries as of November 22nd, which I just want to frame that this is a very conservative number. We're very cautious in what we tell you. But the travel intentions has been a really good barometer for us. We have a track record now. It's a good barometer of what things are going to happen. We are seeing about a 4% increase in, we think, visitation from ATIA inquirers. So that, just with the inquirers alone, that would equal 77,000 additional visitors to Alaska. We multiply that by the 2006 Alaska visitor statistics number, which only is in-state spending. It doesn't include any transportation to or from the state. So that increase of 4.3% would be $72 million in state spending. That figure is $935 in state spending. So for some skeptics in the group, and I know I'm often one of those, so I can appreciate that. That 4.3% is really meaningful in that the national average, by an equally reliable barometer, which is produced by the United States Travel Association, they're projecting a 2.6% increase nationally for travel. So even with the economy bettering, the advertising that we've been doing is really making a difference. And we feel to date, even though it's premature, that we can document that the money, the additional money that was approved in the last session is working and will continue to work and pay dividends for Alaskans and visitor industry. I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the Team Alaska Tourism. Many of them are behind me today. A number of them are participating in the marketing committee. Maybe you could just show a quick show of hands of those of you on the marketing committee. And those of you that are on the board and the marketing committee, and those of you that are on the board. ATIA, and we have a number of affiliated organizations also with us. So we are just the representatives of the many faces of Alaska employees that will benefit from the additional oomph that we've been given into the marketplace, and we take it seriously. We know you take it seriously, and we appreciate your investment in Alaska tourism.
Thank you for your presentation. Committee members, do you have any questions? Representative Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Deb and Patty, for the presentation. It certainly is a reminder that we live in a gorgeous state, and it's an honor to be, you know, serving in my capacity. My question relates to the sunsetting of the funding match that will occur July 1st of this year. It's my understanding that it, for the past 3 years, it was changed to a 70-30 match, and it'll revert to a 50-50 match from the industry. And my question is, do you know how that will, you know, what that translates in real dollars to ATIA, and what is your plan for going forward if that 50-50 match is reinstated? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Through the Chair, if I may answer. It translates roughly into $4.5 million of match. We have many years of track record for this program, and that 2.7 match that we've been able to generate for a number of years now, we believe that our 1,100 travel industry businesses of ATIA, most of them are small businesses. Most of them are 5 employees or less, definitely less than 50 employees. They're about max their investment of our program. And we think that that would be very challenging for us to raise more than the 2.7 that we are currently in the program. Just keep in mind that a lot of these industry players, Fairbanks included, we spend money directly to advertise our destination. In Fairbanks, we're heavily engaged in luring competitive air service, so we spend some of our resources on that. So we're promoting Alaska above and beyond this program, both cash and in kind, and we do feel that 2.7 is what we can raise. So it would be very challenging for us to go back to that 50-50 match.
Follow-up, Representative Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you have any figures on what the industry brings in terms of real dollars to the state's economy?
You mean in terms of tax revenue collected? And yeah, I believe it's $180 million. I'd like to take this moment, if I may, Chair, to introduce Ron Peck, who's the president and CEO of ATIA.
Certainly.
And I believe it's $180 million. So that would be corporate cruise tax, gambling tax, non-resident hunting and fishing fees, the vehicle rental tax.
Ron, if you could come to the microphone, the clerk will have difficulty hearing you.
Through the chair to Representative Costello. Actually, we've estimated the amount of state industry fees to be somewhere in the vicinity of $120 million, and that does include marine highway fees, fishing non-resident fishing licenses, corporate income tax from the visitor industry. Corporate income tax from the visitor industry, the casino gaming tax from the cruise industry, and the head tax. The $180 million that Ms. Hickok is referring to is the increase or the additional what we would call municipal spending. There's probably another $30 million in local hotel lodging taxes that are contributed to the various local municipalities. But in terms of the state contribution, we estimate somewhere between $120 and $130 million annually. In terms of expenditures in the state of Alaska, direct expenditures on an annualized basis, that number that Ms. Mackey referred to earlier, $935 of in-state spending average per person, is from the previous AVSP, the Alaska Visitor Survey Program. So that means we're about a $2 billion, almost somewhere between $1.6 and $1.8 billion direct economic expenditures, and indirect we estimate we're somewhere in the vicinity of $2 to $2.3 billion.
And just for the clerks, if you could identify your name and your affiliation.
My name is Ron Peck. I'm president of the Alaska Travel Industry Association and have been for about 8.5 years.
Thank you. Anything else, Representative Costello?
Thank you. I'm finished.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So to go back to, like, the first page here, it shows the FY11 budget and its sources. Are you asking for basically the same money next year as well, or is it different? Just if you give me even just the short form of what your budget request is going to be.
Currently, the governor has $16 million in his proposed budget, and that is the amount that was in last year's budget, and we were counting on another $2.7 million from Congress at the match for a minimum of 18.7.
Thanks. So your budget request is what exactly?
Well, technically, we haven't made a request. It's in the governor's proposed budget.
And that's $16 million?
If I might, Representative Dugan is asking if you're asking this committee to consider an additional, an amendment to the governor's budget, basically, of $2.7 million.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Herron.
Madam Chair, thank you to Deb and Patty and to everybody that's in the room. You know, this is outstanding news, and, you know, I think collectively you've all done a great job. And so if there's, Madam Chair, I have a specific request, unless there's other questions.
Have you concluded your presentation? There's a few people in the audience that are here today that the committee would like to hear from. Is there any closing comment that you'd like to leave us with? If you're not asking for additional money but support of the $16 million in the budget, that's what we've heard.
Yes, and you know, our goal has always been $20 million. That is our ultimate goal. We are thrilled with the $18.7 million total budget. We have a budget that speaks to that. We also have a budget in hand that we worked out yesterday. It's a $20 million budget. So we know you have a path to go. It's still early in the session. And we will be talking with you individually to see if we can get to the $20 million. But at this point in time, we're not making a phone call.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I assume that you don't have a third budget that's somewhat lower than this number. Is that correct? Thank you.
Representative Dugan, my comments were not meant to elicit additional requests for funding either. With that, thank you so much, Ms. Hickok and Ms. Mackey for presenting and Mr. Beck for joining us. If we could get you to move back, there's a couple people in this audience that at least one member would like to talk to. Representative Herron.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. And I guess to expand a little bit on my comments, you know, there's legislators in this, all the legislators that have shown up today have a real necessary and vested interest, starting with my colleague from Southeast, all the way around the room. Tourism is very, very important to our constituents. So, Madam Chair, with legislative license, there's a couple of high school classmates of mine in the room, so could we subpoena them to come to the front here? John Binkley, Linda Anderson. I'd like to get their views.
Mr. Binkley, Ms. Anderson. Will you make yourself available without subpoena?
What kind
You've
of press
requested.
Is that?
You've been requested.
So, Madam Chair, you know, these are longtime friends of mine, and you know, they're part of a great group, and I guess I'd like to have them share their reaction and projections for tourism. You know, the reaction of this report.
Your name for the record, please, too.
Completely unprepared, but for the record, my name is John Binkley. I don't know what capacity I'm up here in, yielding to the subpoena. I do have the privilege of serving as president of the Alaska Cruise Association,
But more importantly, my family has been involved in the visitor industry since 1950. My parents started our little tour business back then. I had the privilege of growing up in this industry, working with my parents, then of operating the business, of running the family business, of watching my kids grow up in the business, and now my children, who are grown, are running the business. So it's really from that perspective that I would like to talk to you about the visitor industry and how much it means to our family. And really, over the years, the last 60 years, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of people, Alaskans, that we've had the privilege of working with. And it's probably the most satisfying part of the business is really seeing how many people are affected positively, how many Alaskans are friends and neighbors over the years by this industry. And it's, I just love it. I just really, really enjoy it. It's been my life and a privilege to still, even though I'm not running the family business, to be a part of it through my role in the Alaska Cruise Association. I'm very excited about what the industry has been able to do here in Alaska as a result of the legislature appropriating this money and, as the previous speaker said, really investing in this industry and the Alaskans that are affected by it through your generosity and appropriation. And it makes me so proud when I see I'm watching some cable show or some national television show and I see an ad about Alaska and about our state, and it's great from an economic standpoint, the jobs that it will create as a result of those visitors coming to Alaska, but also it just makes me proud as an Alaskan to show off our state and what a beautiful state it is and what a privilege it is to live here.
Thank you. There's two questions. Representative Heron.
John, thank you for your comments, but two questions. First one is you have a brand new, or if you haven't, you're going to have a brand new grandchild if it's not been born yet, but what year will that grandchild be a riverboat captain?
2028.
And John, you know, I was at a meeting where you made a presentation to Alaska Airlines and executives. So has this, you know, a couple of years ago, it wasn't so rosy around here. Has it come full circle?
Well, it has been difficult. It's been a difficult few years. I know in our own personal business, in 2009, we were down 30%. And in 2010, we were down another 10%. So that's cumulative 40%. And it really hurts. You know, I like to refer to it as a small family business, but it's grown over the years. And at the peak in 2010, we had as many as 210 employees. And this last year, we were down by 70 employees. And so it hurts me to see friends and neighbors who don't have a job as a result of what's happened in the industry. So it's been a tough time, and it's been tough for me to see my son have to go through that and make the tough decisions in the business when you lay people off and you're not able to hire people who are counting on a job in the summertime. And so it's been a rough couple of years, but the glass is half full kind of guy, and I'm optimistic, and I think really what the legislature has done and what the governor has done as well, when he came forward and said, okay, how are we going to turn this around? The Commerce Department did a study that shows in the last 2 years, collectively, we've lost 5,000 Alaskan jobs in this industry. And he's really stepped up and said, how do we get those jobs back? How do we get those Alaskans working, getting this industry growing again? And he identified three things. One was the reduction in the cruise ship head tax, which made the economic climate better for cruise ships. Number two was to look at the regulatory regime and how do we make it so that industry can operate in Alaska. And number three, and equally important, was marketing, that Alaska is getting beat by other destinations around the world. Every day, other countries, other states, other ports are trying to take business away from Alaskans. And they're out marketing us. And if we're not in the game, we're going to lose market share and we're going to lose Alaskan jobs. And so he stepped forward with the proposal. The legislature put the additional funding in the budget to invest in this industry. And I'm very optimistic about what's going to happen in 2011 and beyond. I think that we really have an opportunity to get those jobs back. I'd love to see us be able to hire back to the 200-plus level and see Alaskans getting back to work. So I'm very optimistic. Thanks to your help.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Linda, do you have some comments? And if you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Through the chair, Linda Anderson, Representative Faircloth. Thank you for the invite, Representative Aaron. It's been a few years since we were not having to worry about jobs. The three of us spend a little time in snow machines and motorcycles and carefree kid stuff. But today I appreciate that, and I have a couple of different hats, as you all know, and many of you are probably pretty darn tired of seeing me year after year. I have the privilege of representing ATIA, but I can tell you in the last couple of years, this industry has united like we have never united before. Every segment of this industry, crews to, I have a campground and some cabins on the river in Fairbanks. Every segment of this industry has come together and said, we need marketing. And we are now all ponying up tax revenues that did not used to be there. And everyone behind me in this business realizes that. It was a very different year 10 and 20 years ago than it is today with the landscape of money coming into the Treasury, not just our businesses for jobs, but the money that comes to the Treasury for you folks to be able to support other programs. So I think we're being a lot better, frankly, better partners in Alaska's economy than we used to be. And now these folks come to you and ask you for a vision of your leadership in what a sustainable program might look like. There's been many proposals brought before you, but honestly, we know that until the legislature is comfortable with a proposal and what that looks like, we can't force that. We can't create that without you and your leadership. So just to bring it home to my small business, my husband and I, who used to serve in this body, we built our business 25 years ago now. And it grew over the years. We were able to hire up to about 120 people a year. We started closing in the winter, which Steve thinks isn't all bad. But we, unfortunately, have gone down to about 80 employees now. Over the last 3 years alone, we've had to reduce and ask a lot more of the people that do work for us. We still have fixed costs, so you can't do much about that. I'm proud to be able to create jobs in my hometown and to hire all of my friends' children, just as we hired our own children. Well, we didn't really hire them. We made them work. But in any event, it's a privilege, and it's an honor to create jobs and to contribute in that way. So I thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you for joining us at the table at a request, not a subpoena. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John, I was wondering if you could comment on the value of a sustainable marketing program for tourism.
Well, it really, and I'm not a marketing expert, so there are many people who have a lot more understanding and talent in that area than I do, but I know that with marketing programs generally, it's very important to sustain a program. It's difficult when you're in and out of a market. And so sustainability over time is important to get the best value for your money that you expend. And if you have a steady level of funding over a long period of time, you can design your campaign around that. You know that you're going to be in the marketplace, and you can sustain that and be able to raise the awareness and continue to get the benefits of that over time. So I can't give you too much technical detail because I'm not a marketing expert, but it was probably like campaigning. You know, when you're off the air and your opponent is on the air, you can kind of see your numbers drop a little bit. And so you want to be able to, you know, get up to a point and sustain it to the end to make sure that you are out there in the marketplace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Costello. With that, I would like to thank everyone for joining us here in Juneau today. The co-chairs are, unfortunately, in leadership meetings, but had expressed earlier, if you've newly arrived to the meeting, their regards and their support of the industry. They're in a leadership meeting right now and just joined us very briefly at the start of this meeting. Thank you for all that you do for the state of Alaska, and we appreciate your contact with the legislature in understanding the issues that face your individual businesses. With that, this meeting's adjourned, and finance will meet at 1:30.